So welcome. We've got a small but enthusiastic group this evening. So, but also one of the things we do is that it's important to record these so that they're available online for other people. So this is week two of the course, Facing Uncertain Times, Practices for Calm, Kindness and Compassion. And I'm Carolyn Mason, and this is the 13th year that I have been presenting these. So I am very excited about doing it for the 13th time. The weekly agenda that we have, there'll be like this, what I'm doing now, there'll be an overview, and then each week is a presentation of one of the attitudes, and the final week is how they all work together as a team. And last week was equanimity, and this week is loving kindness. We do meditations and we look at some of the ways we can actually put the practice into action. And discussion Q&As are encouraged throughout the class at any time you feel you want to ask a question or make a comment. And each week is complete in itself. And I do have a resource book available, and it's quite detailed. And the slides will tell the story for each class, and it's a resource book to look at afterwards. So with this week and loving kindness, I'm going to start with the big picture. What is the purpose of our life? And the Dalai Lama, who is a very good authority to work with, says the purpose of our life is to be happy, and that pleasure based on sensory experience is short-lived, and the ultimate source of lasting happiness is developed in the mind, and it depends on motivation and our own actions. So this week's attitude of loving kindness, which is the wish for all beings to have happiness and the causes of happiness, really takes on the theme of, what is happiness? So with the question of what is happiness, if I were to ask you, what comes to mind when you think of the word happiness? What is happiness for you? So how would you fill in that thought bubble up there? So Chad here has said an absence of negativity, content where you are, says Tina, not wanting anything. Ma, do you want to make a contribution of what comes to your mind?
Absorption. Happiness is being absorbed in whatever it is that you're doing such that you're not even aware of the passage of time.
Right, that's an interesting one. So, is that absorption in any activity particularly, or?
Particularly artistic activities.
Oh, right,
Or, but also reading a book or doing a painting or engaging in of gardening, engaging
Right.
in something where you are completely in the moment.
Okay. Well, that's a very interesting one. So we might come back to that one with the idea that, whoops, go back, with the that having looking at how we have happiness in our life, one of from the Buddhist tradition, the four immeasurable attitudes have been seen as a practice for happiness. And it's seen as a powerful and proven method for transforming our mind, and that positive mental factors are essential ingredients for happiness and peace of mind and beneficial relationships. So, slightly different take from what you're saying, Ma, but all interesting to contemplate. So the four immeasurable attitudes are loving kindness is happiness and its causes for all beings. Compassion is freedom from suffering and its causes for all. And joy, never to be separated from happiness with no suffering. And equanimity, freedom from bias, attachment, and anger, holding some close and others distant. And as I said, last week we did equanimity, and this week is loving kindness. So when we look at the attitudes of happiness, suffering, equanimity, they're what we call mental states. And we need to understand a little bit about the mind. That's where the source of developing happiness and mental states are in Buddhism. And in Buddhism, the mind is something that is interesting to scientists who follow the tradition of, you know, it needs to be able to scientific method applied, that the mind is not physical. It's not the brain. It is like clear and knowing, and it has the ability to know objects. It's not the easiest concept, but that's why Buddhism provides analogies, that it's like the spaciousness and the vastness of the sky, and clouds come and go, flow across it, but the clouds, the mind or the sky may have some awareness of those, but it doesn't go into the very nature of the sky itself. And that's sort of what sort of that vastness and spaciousness and awareness of the mind is in Buddhism. And what is regarded as mental factors are factors that direct the mind in a particular way. And it directs the mind that it can have positive, negative, or neutral thoughts, and they influence or colour the mind in each moment. And we can have very many emotions and thoughts and perceptions in any moment of mind. And so the analogy here is that if you direct your mind with anger, for example, it's like a drop of dye that colours a whole glass of water with that anger, or with compassion, or with contentment, or with absorption in that way. So with mind and mental factors, it's trying to understand how we develop then these four immeasurable attitudes to develop happiness and to overcome more negative states of mind and to be free of them as a form of happiness. Now what we'll do first is a very short meditation to settle our mind into the class and to get some maybe appreciation of mind itself and how our mind flips around or can needs to be trained in some way anyway. So we begin by assuming a posture that supports your ability to be awake and alert. You may have your eyes closed or just gently lower them and bring awareness to your breath. If you like, you can put your hands on your belly and really feel the rise and fall of the breath with the in-breath and the out-breath. Really feel how each breath enters the body and leaves the body. Notice its rhythm, its length and depth, as we just follow the breath. No need to change how we breathe, because what we are practicing is being present in this moment, following our breath, moment by moment, being present in this moment, using our breath. We just follow our breath, breathing in and out. Just following our breath. You may be aware of a thought or a feeling that comes into your mind, sounds, be glad that you noticed. It is what our mind does. It wanders off and gets captured by other thoughts and feelings. Doesn't keep attention on the breath. Bring your attention back to the breath. Let go of other thoughts or sounds that brought to your attention. Let them pass and gently return to place attention on the breath. Breathing in and breathing out. Following the breath for just a few minutes. And if other thoughts or feelings come to your mind, again, be glad you noticed and gently let them go and bring your attention to place it back on the breath. And with the breath, we place attention on it to anchor ourselves in the present moment so that we can give attention to the moment we are in and not be living in the past. We're in a future that hasn't arrived, and to give attention to the here and now. So then in your own time, bring awareness back outwards to being in this room and appreciate your efforts in doing that. In some ways, the practices have brought to mind Marg's idea of absorption, being absorbed in the moment. So, did you notice that it's still an effort to stay on the breath? And
always the first one, my mind is just everywhere. It's only after settling in, the second one that I come.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really instructive to realize how much our attention gets captured. So, you know, there's the mind and it's happy to go this way or that, and but trying to attend it in this present moment. Do you want to check? Mark, do you have any comment there?
No, just to say I agree with you. I suddenly started thinking about what I'm going to cook for dinner. And yes, then have to throw that, pass that away.
Yeah. Maybe it's also the time of day or something, but it is I think, an important realization for it all about really needing to concentrate and be in the moment. Because if we're going to train our minds, we need to be aware of settling our mind and directing our mind. And what I'm going to go through here is, if we're going to develop the four immeasurable attitudes for developing calm and kindness and compassion in our uncertain times, then the practice of doing it with the five forces, which is a method from Buddhism as well, is, I think, very helpful. And you see there, and what we did that meditation, is that the first of the five forces we need to use is intention. And that's an example of, like with the meditation, you know, the instruction was to place your attention on the breath, and how our mind says, oh, you know, I don't want to do that. I've got other things to think about and go, places to be. But what we need, intention is, in Buddhism, is a mental factor, and it's seen as probably one of the, if not the most important one, because what it's doing is saying to the mind, the overall mind, you need to direct your mind to this aspect, to this object. So that's the first of the five forces, the intention to actually develop your mind with loving kindness, as it is this week, to be and the causes of, to get happiness and its causes. And the second one is familiarity. I mean, and that's, knowledge is power. We've heard that one in how we practice. And so it's about developing knowledge about what these attitudes are and practicing them till it becomes like second nature. Is that a familiarity is an important aspect of, you know, a lot of things we do in life. And how much, if you reflect on your life, you go with the familiar and don't try something new, or, you know, that's more uncomfortable if we do that. So knowledge is power. So familiarity is the second one, and familiarity with the four attitudes. And from applying ourselves and directing our mind with these four attitudes, we come to understand what is positive or beneficial action. And that's what's called what actions we need to adopt or do more of, and what actions to abandon. And so actions to adopt are directing our mind with loving kindness and understanding how we achieve the causes for happiness, and reject what the barriers to that is. And that's like attitudes such as anger or impatience or, discrimination. And then the fifth force is aspiration, of just aspiring to continue the practice and to do more in our practice. So when we look at the understanding intention more, it's that key mental factor of how we direct our mind. And what we want to do here is to direct our mind with the four immeasurable attitudes. And we do that from considering our own perspective, which is how we want to develop loving kindness to benefit ourselves and others, but also consider it from the perspective of others and just reflect on or observe how other people direct their minds. We can't control that, but we can observe and see in the way they direct their minds and learn something from the impact that that has and how we need to direct our mind in positive and beneficial ways. And we wish for them to direct their minds with these attitudes, because we think if everyone directed their mind with the four immeasurable attitudes of loving kindness and compassion for starters, the world would be somewhat of a better place. So and with these five forces, as they're called, it's what the Dalai Lama will use in some of his teachings to go through of how we can apply the five forces to train our mind. And there's, interestingly, if you go back to look at the order, this is a particular order for applying them in during life. And then there's a different order if you are nearing the time of death to really, sort of do things to prepare for death with these five forces, but in a different direction. And one of the last ones of, nearing the time of death is familiarity, so that you are at the time of death really familiar with, calmness and positive states of mind to, enter into, great difficult situations and at the time of death. So they're used in different ways, but used by the teachers in their trainings and their teachings. This is a bit of a busy slide, I know, but this is saying that if we're looking at familiarity, the first one we need to, in terms of familiarity, is to know the attitudes, and that's what we're doing week by week. And as we did start with the equanimity last week, and as I said, to try and make each week complete in itself so you don't have to be here, week by week, there's just a little bit of, where did we start? We started with equanimity. Why did we start with equanimity? And that was to recognize what we do constantly in the application of labels and the bias that arises from that. And so in that little table I've done is we look at the three labels that we worked on last week in terms of equanimity. And it was friend, like, enemy, dislike, stranger, don't care. And those positions come from a particular affliction. So with a like, attachment, dislike, aversion, don't care, ignorance. And what happens when we practice that is we develop clinging to people with our attachment. With dislike from aversion, we always suffer from that. And with stranger, with ignorance of just not knowing about the particular person, not knowing is something that we all, deal with in our life. And what we need to move towards is a new mental state, which is genuine loving kindness instead of attachment, patience and compassion for people we don't like or dislike, try and overcome, that aversion. And depending on the strength of that aversion, applying patience first and then compassion. And with strangers, don't know, it's about developing knowledge to understand, even if we don't know people, there's still this complete interdependence that we have with everyone in life, the sort of the role that everyone plays. And in terms of, the perspective of others, their role of how it in their behaviour and how it impacts you. And if you look at climate change and the decisions others make about climate change or political issues, social issues, understanding how we're all interdependent would be certainly one way to make better decisions, to understand it's not just impact on a few people or whatever, that it's a whole holistic impact. So that's what interdependence means. So that was the idea. And so it's trying to move from bias to a balance and calm. And so with the scales there, there's a balance with the scales, even though there are lots of things happening with those scales, with all the colours and shapes and that, but it's it still doesn't mean that we can't have a complex life, want of a better word, without the bias of how we apply those labels. And so that's what we were doing with equanimity as the first one. And then familiarity of knowing the attitudes, but also to bring in now is familiarity with doing the analytical meditation, which we will do on loving kindness this week. And what we did last week was to explore how in our life those labels of friend, enemy, and stranger really influence and drive some of the actions that we do. And in the Tibetan, the word gong, literal meditation, literally means familiarization. Well, there you go. So that was so what meditation is saying is it really is a force that's important to apply when you're trying to transform your mind or develop positive states of mind. It's about getting used to acting with not having so many afflictions in our mind, but more kindness and compassion. And in Pali, which was the original language of the Buddha, it means to cultivate, to develop, to bring into being. So that's exactly what we're trying to do here with developing our mind, transforming our mind with the four immeasurable attitudes. And familiarity, we can also say, if we develop the familiarity, change does happen. And so Mata Rickard, who's in the picture there, is one of the amazing meditators, but he's also an amazing academic as well and is co-author of a number of studies that the neuroscientists have done on him as both the subject, the object, and as well as one of the authors. And neuroscience has monitored the brain, is the exactly what's happening there, and revealed that sustained meditation affects this neuroplasticity of the brain and forges new pathways to make it easier to generate concentration and positive emotions like compassion. So it means that change does happen. So you can teach people new ways of being if by understanding that it starts in the mind and then through the mental factors, which loving kindness is one of them. And so loving kindness is the wish, may all beings have happiness and its causes. And happiness is a sense of long-term well-being, peace of mind, and satisfaction with our lives. So they're elements of happiness that all of you have some sense or idea of what you said, what happiness means for you. Then I really like the idea that happiness is also a way of interpreting the world, because since while it is maybe difficult to change the world, we don't have that power, or I certainly don't, it is always possible to change the way we look at it. And that is certainly absolutely a truth that I have discovered from applying the Four Immeasurable Attitudes in my life. And just looking at the news and the way you watch the news, the way you deal with being on the roads, the way you deal with people at work or in the family, changing your mind in terms of how you look at the situation, and with a mind that is directed with positive mental factors such as loving kindness, and not with aversion or intolerance or racism, sexism, those other mental factors which colour the mind and don't lead to anyone's happiness. And so you can have your glasses on, and what might seem like a rainy situation, depending on how you see it, you can look through and you can change the way that you look at the situation with positive mental attitudes. Does that make sense? Yes. And so the question is, well, what's the causes for happiness? And we do think that sensory experience is a cause for happiness. And, you know, sight, you know, people we see or what we do, places, colours, sound, smells, tastes, touch, all those things that are sensory pleasures and that does bring some level of happiness. But, you know, what you were saying, Marg, about you may have the absorption, but, it, you know, after a while that absorption might start to wane and you sort of feel, you know, some level of dissatisfaction, why don't I keep my concentration going or whatever. And so seeing the sensory experiences through our eyes, ears, nose, tongue and touch is not going to be an ongoing sense of happiness for us because our mind is always there interpreting the world. And I tried to do the idea that our mind engages with objects, and just as we had the labels of like, dislike, don't care, our mind engages, and the mental factor of feelings, we get feelings coming up, you know, so that's pleasant, that's don't like that, it's suffering, or neutral feelings. And then we go the next step and really get upset if we feel suffering or something isn't lasting. We get upset with the sunset because it sort of rained on. We get upset with, you know, boyfriends or girlfriends because they don't, you know, after a while don't meet our expectation or they're not the people we thought they were. And we go through a whole range of situations because just relying on sensory pleasures is dependent on things beyond our control, external people, places, events. We have little or no control over them, and we suffer when they change. And the hard lesson with this is impermanence rules. And so that's the thing. But what can not be impermanent is what we choose to hold in our mind. We choose to direct our mind with loving kindness. We have control over that. We're not dependent on external situations, and we can keep a constancy to having happiness from those positive states of mind. And this is one of my favourite quotes because I was a Beatles fan for a very long time. And George Harrison says, like, we're the Beatles after all, aren't we? We have all the money you could ever dream of. We have all the fame you could ever wish for. But it isn't love. It isn't health. It isn't peace inside, is it? Now, you'd have to say that George Harrison would know about this in terms of anything and everything that sensory pleasures could bring if they were the source of happiness. But he's saying there, well, actually, they're not the source of happiness because we've got it all. And so this was, in fact, the contact that he had with meditation. And without going into all the ins and outs of the Maharishi in that, it was that his, what influenced him was he became a meditator. And he, in fact, practiced, had some level of meditation practice for the rest of his life. And so that's sort of a quote that he says it clearly. And so what we do is we need to find reliable causes of our happiness. And as the Dalai Lama says, in identifying one's mental state as the prime factor in achieving happiness, of course, that doesn't deny our basic physical needs for food, clothing, shelter must be met, so resources. And given the inequalities across the world, that one is an important one to understand, that there is, for some people, having food in your mouth every day and clean water is, you know, you can understand that that's a cause for, you know, pleasure or happiness. But once basic needs have been met, the message is clear. We have a mind which is all the basic equipment we need to achieve and complete happiness. And obviously, if people know about, you know, situations where people say, well, what's happiness to you? And all these words come up. Have you done the exercises? And words come up, and they, in what gets produced, like behind the Dalai Lama, is that the words that are used most often by the audience are the ones that are in larger type. And so that's, you know, kindness, altruism, generosity, empathy, humility, love, compassion, non-judgment, equanimity, all these lovely words. So in terms of then how do you find reliable happiness, it's through those mental states. And that's going to give you, you know, reliable happiness. So in terms then of how does that make sense for you, or that, any comments to be made? Any comments from you, Mark? Or?
I will say something. My belief generally has been that happiness is not a constant state, that you have moments of or periods of happiness, events or encounters or something, but it's sort of like a curve, a wave. And to expect to feel happy, or to perceive that you're happy all the time, I think is perhaps unrealistic, at least for me anyway. So I find the idea of achieving a state of happiness not sort of right for me generally.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm comfortable with that. I don't expect to feel happy all the time because, you know, life intervenes, doesn't it? So, and I know it is, you know, nothing is good or bad, but thinking makes it so, as was said in Hamlet. But I don't see it as a state. Sorry, I'm just repeating myself now.
I think that's a good point. I think that from my experience of working with the Four Immeasurable Attitudes for 13 years now, is that it's why you start off with equanimity, that the levels of the kind of highs and lows of like, dislike, don't care get a bit more balanced. And having the balance between where your emotional state is and not riding a roller coaster wave so much, that can be described as, you know, a level of happiness, because happiness is, you know, is behind the Dalai Lama there. There are so many words that what it, happiness means. And I guess it's just that over time, a sense of well-being or contentment. And that is more often than it used to be, or you are more patient with other people's sort of views or attitudes. So it's and I think it goes back to what the neuroscience has shown, that where our sort of our neural pathways do change a bit to lead us on a way of being in the world which has a greater level of contentment, maybe we could say. And so I think that what you say, Mark, isn't in contradiction at all to what has been said here, and that it's overall you move to a greater state of contentment or non-judgment. And the other important part of that is considering this next slide, that with the meditation and how we do these meditations, why we start with ourselves, because we're probably very aware in our culture and society that we're probably not always so kind to each other, to ourselves, I mean, sorry. We probably don't make friends with ourselves as much as would be a good thing, perhaps. And one of the definitions of meditation is making friends with yourself. And so the importance of starting with yourself in terms of wishing yourself to have happiness, wishing yourself to be free of suffering, wishing yourself to have, you know, balance and not be so up and down with, you know, how we react to things of like, dislike and don't care, is a really important part of developing happiness in our life, to offer ourselves compassion and goodwill. And that the importance in, from the Buddhist point of view, in terms of how you develop the method of the Four Immeasurable Attitudes as a way to transform your mind, is to, in the first instance, apply those Four Immeasurable Attitudes to yourself. And that is, in fact, the point of the practice, that we need to have the experience of applying the attitudes to ourselves and really understanding the benefit of applying those attitudes to yourselves. And then we can, from a deeper place, extend them out to benefit all other sentient beings. So that's the importance of starting with ourselves, to try and really become more aware of the importance of these attitudes and applying them to ourselves. As the Dalai Lama was quite confused in the early days of coming to the West with the, you know, the self-deprecating, is that the word, attitude that, you know, people in the West would apply to themselves and really put themselves down. And that was something that there's one famous teaching where his translators had to try and explain it to him for about 5 minutes, you know, what this particular psychologist was talking about at one of the Mind and Life Institute conferences, which has the, you know, the neuroscientists at. But in terms of your own experience, would you agree that this, that the issue of applying, making friends with ourselves and treating ourselves with kindness and compassion is something that we're not perhaps immediately so good at? Yes. So not to be heard, Mark, that it's about building into our culture this sort of whole thing of knocking down the tall poppies and that sort of attitude. That button is very sort of fast. Or I've got a big finger, I think. So with our analytical meditation on loving kindness, as the picture on the screen there says, just the importance of keeping our back straight, because the thing about that is with the back straight, we have the best chance of being alert and staying attentive. And if you want to just take a moment to stand up and stretch or have a drink or something like that, you're most welcome to. And just to recognize this is an endurance test, that you have to stay in one place the whole time, but please feel free. So if you settle in to a comfortable position so you can remain alert and reduce the risk of, you know, maybe getting sleepy. And with your eyes, it's if you think that you're going to, you know, sink more down into drowsiness, then opening the eyes and letting light in is one of the ways that can be helpful for that. because it sort of lifts your mind into more awareness, apparently, than keeping your eyes shut. And we just take a few very deep breaths to really settle and calm the body and mind, and bring your awareness to the natural rhythm of the breath, letting your attention rest in the present moment. And we now set a conscious intention to do this practice as an act of loving kindness to ourselves, to be friends with ourselves, and wish ourselves happiness and its causes. And from this experience, to be able to send out the wish of loving kindness to all other sentient beings. So breathing in and out naturally, bring to mind a time when you did feel strong warmth, kindness, love from another person or persons, or maybe a devoted pet that you've had. Imagine or sense this person or pet, noticing the feelings that arise, remembering their warmth and kindness and love. Might bring a smile to your face or warmth and energy in your body. And focus on the feelings and energy that may have arisen, however great or small. And let your awareness with such feelings or energy be with you as you breathe in and breathe out. With the flow of your breath, let this awareness arise as the wish for loving kindness for yourself. Direct your mind with kindness and caring to be a friend to yourself. And so offer yourself loving kindness with these words: may I be happy. May I have the causes of happiness, causes for genuine happiness in my life. May I be happy and have the causes for genuine happiness. Let these words settle into you. And ask yourself, what is happiness for me? Listen to what might arise in your mind. There may be some things that you would like from the world in terms of resources, which may not be insignificant. But with the causes of happiness, the sources for lasting happiness arise in the mind. What would such states of mind for your lasting happiness be? Bring some of these to your mind. Bring them alive in your mind. These mental states for your lasting, reliable happiness. And with your breath, Bring life and vitality into developing the causes for your happiness. Imagine you are directing your mind with all you need for your vision of happiness, for your flourishing. And feel a warm energy or golden light, or what arises for you. And fill your heart with this energy or light, warmth, as you say and wish yourself, may I be well and happy. May I be peaceful and at ease. May I have the causes for my own lasting happiness. May I be well and happy. May I be peaceful and at ease. May I have the causes for my own lasting happiness. Feel the sincerity of your words. Let them feel alive in your body, filling your whole being and mind with loving kindness for yourself, with the wish to make friends with yourself, to be kind, caring, compassionate to yourself. And as a friend to yourself, wish yourself to have happiness and its causes. As you say, may I be well and happy. May I be peaceful and at ease. May I have the causes of genuine happiness. And wishing yourself well, to be a friend for yourself. To have happiness and to work with your mind to have the mental factors for happiness. Say your words. May I be well and happy. May I be peaceful and at ease. May I have the causes for happiness, lasting happiness. And breathe gently and calmly, and take in the warmth, energy, and light, whatever is happening for you. Take in the experience of holding yourself with loving kindness, holding yourself with the wish for your happiness. With the intention to develop the causes for lasting happiness in your own mind. And from this experience of sending loving kindness to yourself, you can direct your attention outwards to others. First, bring to mind a person you hold close. Attend to that person's own kindness, caring, lovability. And with loving kindness, arise the wish that they be truly happy, that they find the causes of happiness, that they flourish in their life. With the power of your imagination, see this person receiving all they would need to have genuine and lasting happiness. Direct the warm energy and golden light of your loving kindness to them, to fill every atom of their body and every moment of their mind as you wish for them. May you be well and happy. May you be peaceful and at ease. May you have the causes of happiness. May you be well and happy. May you be peaceful and at ease. May you have the causes of happiness. And the warm energy and light of your loving kindness flows through this person, and they radiate a happiness. And their happiness reflects back to you, and it strengthens the energy and light of your own loving kindness. Then, as an act of loving kindness, extend the wish to have happiness and its causes to a person you might know only in passing. And again, attend to this person and what they need to have lasting happiness. Direct your mind with the wish for this person to receive all they need to have the causes of happiness. And so send this person the warm energy and light of your loving kindness to fill every atom of their body and every moment of their mind as you say, may you be well and happy. May you be peaceful and at ease. May you have the causes of happiness. And as you hold this person in your awareness, feel their happiness radiating and filling all their being. And this happiness reflects back to you, and your loving kindness strengthens. And we realize that we can extend our loving kindness to further circles of people, to include people that you don't particularly like. Consider that such a person takes their actions from a state that doesn't know the causes for happiness. So you can wish them to develop the causes of genuine happiness for their own sake and for others around them. And wish for this person, may you be well and happy. May you be peaceful and at ease. May you have the causes of happiness. And rest in the awareness and space of your own mind and just see who might come knocking on the door of this awareness. Whoever comes to mind, people you know, organizations that you respect, regions of the world, countries, whoever comes to mind, equally and impartially direct your mind and send to them the wish. May you all be happy. May you all be well and kind. May you all know the causes of happiness. And see the warm energy and light of your attitude of loving kindness radiate right around from the room you're in out to the city, the country, all areas of the world as you wish for all people. May you all be well and happy. May you all be peaceful and at ease. May you all have the causes of happiness. And to include yourself in it, you say, may we all be well and happy. May we all be peaceful and at ease. May we all have the causes of happiness. And imagine this to be so for all beings everywhere. And now let the warm energy and golden light of your loving kindness return to your heart and rest in the awareness of your attitude of loving kindness. In the awareness of how you direct your mind with loving kindness to others. Direct loving kindness to yourself. And appreciate your efforts as part of loving kindness to yourself. In your commitment to doing this meditation, commitment to developing your own loving kindness for yourself and to extend it to others. Dedicate with the familiarity you may have gained about loving kindness, that you will direct your mind with loving kindness in your day-to-day life. To find calm, kindness, compassion, and the genuine causes of happiness. And in your own time, bring your awareness back to where you are. Open your eyes. Yes, that's, you're not affecting it like it used to, is exactly part of the point of really reflecting on other people that, you know, we apply labels to, don't like, don't know, that that can all soften over time. And, you know, particularly the idea that, you know, wouldn't it be nice if a lot more people knew about loving kindness and might have that same experience of softening and not being so hard on both themselves and others around them. Yes, that's exactly right. You know, the anger just stays there and the thing about anger, it always, always, always disturbs the mind. And then you expand that out to some of the conflicts in the world where it was what some region did to another region back in, you know, 1600s or something like that, and they just, you know, continue to, yes, sort of hold that grudge. So, yes, so that's sort of why it's, you know, reflecting from other people's perspectives too, is you learn from that to sort of to see that, no, I don't want to be like that, and sort of that I really wish they wouldn't, you know, from their perspective, that they could change as well. And so, yes, trying to get both from our perspective and another's perspective. And we recognise, you know, exactly the sort of impact that with our three doors, which is the Buddhist expression for what we do with our body, speech and mind, that we realise that others' happiness depends on how we act, you know, with our body, speech and mind, and that we have responsibility for the happiness and suffering of ours, of others, not just our own, with what we do, what we say, and all that comes from the mind. You know, the person who's been angry for 10 years because of something someone did to him 10 years ago, like, or her 10 years ago, like, it just constantly, you know, recycles through the sort of what they say and do because they haven't addressed what's in the mind, and it's quite sad. And that's something to reflect on. If you, the two of the five forces is about what we need to adopt and what we need to let go of. And so bringing to mind and reflecting for ourselves of, you know, how we do practice and how would we direct our mind with loving kindness. You know, what are the actions that we could build on, do more of, and become more familiar with? And with what loving kindness, what actions do I need to reject or let go of to really build the strength of my loving kindness and how I direct my mind with the loving kindness? So that's practices, so the actual actions. So that's force for three, meritorious action, and force four is rejection. So think of the five forces again. The first one is intention, directing our mind with the intention of loving kindness, to become familiar with what loving kindness is about, what we have to do more of, meritorious action, if we're going to practice it, and what we need to let go of if we're going to reject the obstacles to developing our loving kindness. So you can see how those five forces make a lot of sense when you work through like that. Thankfully they do. Are there any final comments or questions, or Marg, you're fine there, I guess?
Yes, thanks. That was a lovely meditation.
Thank you. So it's it's sort of with loving kindness, and I guess that's sort of the benefit of developing loving kindness too. If we contemplate through and become familiar through meditation. And in the resource book, there's a glance meditation of words that you can use, and you know what words also resonate for you. And just be aware of the benefits of developing loving kindness, and what I've tried to do in the meditation to really, you know, reflect on that feedback loop, that our kindness to others, you know, you get kindness back. And I sometimes think I must, so I try, when I go to in public places, I try and bring the four immeasurable attitudes to mind, and loving kindness, and sending that out. And I obviously sometimes must have a smile on my face, because I not infrequently get people smiling back at me. And I think, oh, right, so I've made a connection with you. So, you know, when I become a Buddha, you're people I've got the connection with that I can help, sort of the thinking. Anyway, the benefits is, you know, and the important thing is about making friends with ourselves, really, you know, trying to get a greater sense of genuine happiness and well-being for ourselves. And through the slides and in the resource book, you have so many references that will give you what the benefits are, what neuroscience says, et cetera, et cetera. And our communications and interactions with others is more beneficial in this positive feedback loop. So there's benefits for ourselves. And what we do finally is to really appreciate your efforts, take joy. So that's one of the four immeasurables, joy. And one of the things about joy is to take joy in our own efforts, in, you know, what we're, the effort we're making, because that's pretty important to recognize and express joy in our own actions as well as others. And so we dedicate with the four immeasurable attitudes. And, you know, you say, may we develop loving kindness so that all sentient beings have happiness and its causes. That we develop and direct our mind with compassion so that all sentient beings be free from suffering and its causes. That we develop joy, that we wish all sentient beings never be separated from the happiness which is free of suffering, and have our mind directed with equanimity so that all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from bias, attachment and anger, holding some close and others distant. And we dedicate for ourselves that these four attitudes become attitudes we direct our mind with, and that we become friends with ourselves. So next week is compassion, which is the wish for all beings to be free of suffering and its causes. And this is one where you think, oh, well, maybe suffering is not going to be so cheery. But what I get very excited about in doing compassion is what some of the neuroscience says about the attitude of compassion as a mental factor in our mind, and the positivity of that factor in our mind. So we'll think a bit more about neuroscience next week with the compassion. And for the coming week, just to try and bring awareness to your actions, bring awareness to, am I, you know, consciously directing my mind with, you know, equanimity or loving kindness? And just developing that awareness, because you discovered from the first meditation that the awareness can get easily carried away. And so if it's carried away, we're not directing our mind with loving kindness. And so it's about trying to develop that awareness and direct our mind with loving kindness. So thank you all very much, and we'll hopefully see you, or see you online next week.